Hello, hello, and welcome. Welcome to Mo's Paisley Penny Arcade. I am Mo. This is the Paisley Penny Arcade. I know it hasn't seemed much like a penny arcade lately, but it is one. The Paisleys are always present, ever present as it were. That's just the way it is. Yeah, they're everywhere. Paisleys are ever present, by the way. Yes, they are. Persian cucumbers, as they were known in the Victorian era, before they were known as Paisley. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Why were they called Paisley? Because that's where the fabric was made, up in Scotland. Paisley. And very expensive it was, too. I mean, you could buy a house for a piece of Paisley fabric back then. Back then, way back then, back then. How are ya? Last week was a rerun. Why was it a rerun? Because my hour nightmare of getting a dishwasher put in was finally coming to an end. And during this time of the show, we were waiting not so patiently for the installer. And he showed up during this time period. And it was touch and go, tense, immense tense, too tense. That's right. So, but he did it. He did it. He was an amazing guy. Ethical, strong. Strong is not even the word for it. He was immensely strong. And polite as could be. A wonderful guy. And ta-da. And it really renewed my faith. If you'd like to know how much it renewed my faith, go to Mark's Power Peak, which you should be... you should be subscribing to. Every week, Mark puts out the Power Peak. And in that, you'll find prognostications from C.A. Brooks. She brilliantly does a weekly. I used to do that. I used to do a weekly prognostication. And finally, after about forever, I said, you know, I don't think I'm doing this anymore. I'd done it for the Denver Post for a long time. And then I said, why am I doing this for the Denver Post? They actually paid me money for it. And found out it's much better to do it for love. So I did it for Mark for a long time. And I just said after a while, not for love or money, nor money. And I just got, I don't think it was lazy, I just got kind of burned out because I was doing so much for a while. Now that I'm an old man, I just said to myself, one day I just said, I just can't. And CHCA does it every week, and she does it for every day. So 7 times 12 is 86, I believe. And no, it ain't. Not even close. 7 times 12, 80. 7 times 12, what is that? Is that 5 times 12 is 60. 6 times 12 is 72. And 7 times 12 is 84. You know, something like that. And 2 times 2 is 4. 4 times 4 is 8. Yeah, it's something like that. So it's in there. And I write my thing called, used to be called Out of Mo's Mind. I think it's called Mo's Corner now. Or Mo's Cornered. Which is also true. Sometimes I feel like I am cornered. But I am live today, and today is Wednesday, the 25th of October, 2024. The last Wednesday in October of 2024. The last Wednesday in October of 2024. The only last Wednesday in October of 2024. My God, it has been a year. Great honk. It has not been. You know, 2023 was not great, but my God, 2024 has... Whew, waning moon. Waning crescent. Not as crescenty as it shall become. It shall become waning balsamic, which is a pretty moon. Balsamic meaning weak. But I like their vinegar. Yeah. A week from today, I'll be on, and it will be the new moon. Maybe I'll do something about that. I like the new moon. It can be intimidating at times, but it can also be incredibly powerful. For magic, it is an incredibly powerful moon to do magic upon. Anubis, who happens to be a dear friend of mine, so to speak, New Mooney. I saw this meme on the internet. This year, Halloween 2024 will take place on Friday the 13th. This has never happened before. And I just thought, oh God. First of all, not true. Mainly because for Friday the 13th to take place, the month must take starting point position on a Sunday. That's all there is to it. Secondly, you know, it's like, come on, that is horse hockey. And secondly, unless you're a 13th, no, it's 14th, unless you're a 14th century Knight Templar, you have absolutely nothing to fear from Friday the 13th. That whole superstition came from the excommunication and imprisonment of the Knight Templars on Friday the 13th in the year 1307 by Philip the Fair of France, because he owed them money. Moolah, follow the money. And they needed their money back. They had loaned them a lot of money to fight Spain. That's right. And so Philip said, I'm not paying you back. But he didn't do it in that way. What he did is he invited Jacques de Molay. Jacques was the head Templar who lived in France, Paris. And he said, why don't you bring your second-in-command and a group of your guys over for the birthday of your godson, my son, and, you know, we'll have a party. And Jacques said, oh, man, that sounds a great thing, you know, I'll come over. So he went over, and they had a party. And halfway into this party, or maybe it was the beginning, I like my story better. Catch him a little off guard. He, you know, Philip says, fine. This was by the auspices and complete acknowledgement and okie dokie of Pope Clement of Rome. Because he owed them a lot of money, too. Clement owed them a lot of money, too. Because the Templars were incredibly wealthy. They said, okay. And Kabong, he called in the guards. They arrested Jacques de Molay and his second-in-command. I don't know his name. But they arrested them all and incarcerated them. And for 7 years, they were in prison. Imprisoned. And all the rest of the guys, upon hearing of this news, went underground. Now, there was no internet back then. There may have been television in the year 1307, although I do doubt that. So they go underground, and they hide. And they begin dressing like everybody else, you know, in three-piece suits, out of armor. Very ugly. You know, the ties were ridiculous. So they begin hiding, and they begin having secret words and secret handshakes and all this stuff. And they also, so 7 years later, get this, 7 years later, Philip says, all right, you guys haven't given anything up. You haven't absolved the feat. All he really wanted was all his money. You know, like, okay, no more. You don't have to pay me back. It's all absolved. But, you know, Jacques said, no way. You owe it all. You have to pay it back. I'm not letting you off the proverbial hook. And so he said, fine. Then guess what? 7 years later, he puts him over a fire, charcoal, and basically roasts them alive. So it's like a like a roast, a Hollywood roast, but different. And there's this big crowd watching, and these guys, the two guys, are roasting. And the other guys have all been, you know, put on the rack and, you know, that whole thing. And it's bad. It's ugly. It's really ugly. And Philip has said to everyone, catch these guys, Templars, and beat them up, except for the Scottish guy. The Scottish guy says, I'm not doing that. You know, that's not, I don't like that. So a lot of the Templars, they go to Scotland. And they do things like throw cabers and eat haggis and play bagpipes. And the world has, of course, paid the penalty. No, I love bagpipes, don't get me wrong. I actually wanted a set for a long time, but anyone I've ever been married to has managed to keep me from doing it to this point. We'll see. Someday. I was thinking even a set of kitchen pipes. Now, kitchen pipes are smaller, and they're not as loud. But they're just as irritating. So, we'll see. Although I was thinking maybe a musette, which is the French version of the bagpipes. No, that's a cornemuse. Musette is not. The musette is the French version of the accordion, which I'm sure is quite irritating. But I was thinking the cornemuse, which is like a three-octave bagpipe, which I think would be most splendid to have. And just as absolutely as aggravating as the regular bagpipes. You know, the bagpipes are a war pipe. Now, the ancient Egyptians had their own bagpipes. I do get off track. So, anyway, that's why. Oh, anyway, so there he is. He's out on this pyre. Actually, it's a slow charcoal. I'm guessing they use lump charcoal and not Kingsford briquettes, because I doubt Kingsford was around back then. So here they're using this fire, and before he expired, Jacques de Molay said, before the end of the year, you and Clement are going to be dead. And before the end of the year, they were. Now, this was not a hex. This was not a some sort of mysterious thing. He was basically having them whacked. You know, it was a proclamation, and they were gone by the end of the year. So this is, this whole Friday the 13th thing carried over. So it's really one of those, and if you go to look it up, it's not going to fit, and that's because of the change from the Julian to the Gregorian and the chants that were there. And it's a game of chance if you look it up, and sometimes community chess. But that's a different story whatsoever, and consequently. You know, and go directly to jail. Do not pass go. Although, if you have $200, you wouldn't be playing the game anyway. And how he got my pajamas, I'll never know. Because they're big. So, therein lies the whole story of Friday the 13th. It has nothing to do with Judas Iscariot and a lot of other people and all the strange stories. And don't you believe it. There's nothing to worry about. Superstition is lousy stuff. Right? And besides, this is autumn. The autumnal equinox was last Sunday, just a scant 4 days ago. It happened in my neck of the woods at about 6:20 in the morning or somewhere right around there. I woke up on Sunday morning and I was freezing. You know, it was pretty cold here. Actually, it had been raining the previous evening. And it was a chilly, chilly morning. And went out and with Coco Bean, our little puppy, big puppy. She's not so little anymore. And thought, autumn is here. I love the term autumn. Do you know why they call it the fall? Do you know why? Do you think you know why? Leaves? Those autumn. Now that's all I can sing without, having to pay up. So that's all I can sing. If I say leaves then there's trouble. So I can't do oh, autumn. I can't do it three times, because then I'll be visited by someone. Oh, ding dong, guess what? So So it's not because of that. It's not because the leaves fall, although that would seem to be the logical thing. Well, y'all, it has to do with the fact that the sun is exalted in Aries. That's right. The sun is exalted in Aries. And so the sun is in its fall in Libra. And we say that the sun goes into Libra on the 22nd or 21st, right around when it goes into fall, September. So that's why it's called the fall, because it's the fall of the sun. And that is amazing. That's a bit of trivia that I think everyone should know. That's why it's called the fall. That's it. But people don't know that, because people don't necessarily want to admit that they know astrology. But you and I don't mind that. So that's why it's called the fall. Now, you know something other people don't know, and if you tell them that, they're going to go, "No, sir. No, no, sir." Yeah, that's why. And that is really why. So, yeah, you can put on your thinking cap. I'm wearing my thinking cap right now. I actually am. I got a fan going in my office, the overhead one that I had put in a couple of years ago, because it used to get stifling in here. And, you know, you don't want to be stifled. I've been stifled most of my life because people think there's something wrong. Well, what's wrong with him? He's really weird. He's so strange. I want to stifle him. Mrs. Smith, stifle him. He scares me. Yeah, that was school. People wanted to stifle me. I'm going to stifle him with my fists. You know, school. What are you going to do? Autumn. So today, since we are now in the fourth day, not the full, it's the third full day of autumn. And I love autumn. I love autumn. Actually, autumn maybe. I love winter too. By the way, I love spring and I love summer. As long as there's some air conditioning. My daughter and her hubby and her twin sons, she has a daughter who is a full-grown person, and what a lovely, oh, God, I love my granddaughter so much. Oh, she's a pediatric oncologist nurse, and I saw her just the other day. She stopped by, and what a joy that was. She stopped by with her partner, and they're so wonderful. Oh, my God. Oh, my God, what a wonderful surprise. What a wonderful surprise. And just lovely, lovely people. And she's so smart and so incredible. And, oh, God, I have grandchildren. I love my grandchildren. I love my children. I love my grandchildren. I love people who aren't related to me, too. But, boy, there's something about that. So my daughter took her her kids, her twins, twin grandsons, and her hubby to Orlando, to Disney World, and spent like the entire week there, and I'm sure we'll be in debt for it for many years, but they had a wonderful time, except for the weather, you know. And it's like, oh my God, I lived in Louisiana for years where the weather was like that at times, where it was, I remember, 98 degrees and 100% humidity. And I would walk from where I lived to a class, and I would be literally soaking wet, you know, my shirt soaking wet. And you'd walk in the classroom, be air conditioned, and you'd be sitting at your desk shivering because you'd be wet. And by the time you left class, you were dry. And then you'd walk out into that same weather, and it would be just soaking wet again by the time you got to the Union, where you'd have a cup of coffee. You'd be soaking wet and freezing, and it was just not conducive to humanity. But it'd be hot, and autumn would be hot. And it was the weirdest weather, and, you know, God bless them, they're used to it down there, you know. But here we have seasons where I live. I live in the greater Rocky Mountain region, and I grew up here, and I'm used to it. And the leaves have not all started. In the upper regions of the Rocky Mountains there beginning to turn, and it's pretty up there. Nothing like the hardwoods, you know. But I love autumn, because there's so much about the autumn that's amazing, and I'd like to talk to you about that today, because it can really be used. Every season has its energy. It's unique energy that is special to itself. It's something that if we learn to use it, we can benefit from it. We can really, really have a pretty good time with it. And I think that that's something that we can all benefit from, that we can all begin to use. I used to love this time of year, even though I was not a fan of school. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart. I mean, especially when I was a youngster, I was not a big fan of school at all. But I liked the clothes that went along with it. I liked the new pair of jeans, even though they were a little stiff, you know. You had to beat them up a little bit, you know, get that old broken tennis racket out and just put them on the bed and just whack the heck out of them. Just to loosen them up a little bit, put them on and just wrestle around, you know, on the floor with them. And I liked the penny loafers. I could always, not always, I could usually talk my mom out of the engineering boots I had to get. You know, and say, I don't want those. I hate those shoes. But they lasted for like generations. You know, I'm sure there's someone I know, you know, who, I mean, they're just forever and ever because they were made out of like, you know, dinosaur hide, these engineering boots. And but every now and then I could say to my mom, I want penny loafers. And I'd say, oh, for God's sake, okay. But then I was growing at a rate that was, you know, like monstrous, because I was a monster. And boy, when I freaked out, ooh-wee, by that I mean turned into a freak, I really was a beautiful monster. Ugh, was I good. Hair, beard, attitude, you know, it was good, good. A friend of mine, whom I actually still see every couple of weeks, we face time or whatever it's called. He's on the other side of the country. I'm here, and I love him. We were friends back in when I was in my early 20s, late teens, early 20s. He's a couple of years older. He's a very respected human being with a respected job for years. I'm me, but we are very close friends. And we were close friends back then when he was getting his master's degree at Colorado State. And now we're still very close friends. But the first time he saw me was not in that capacity. He was working for a carpet cleaning company. And they were going to clean a carpet in the basement. My bedroom was in the basement, as far away from other human beings as it could be. I was in the study, and I chose that room because the encyclopedias were down there. And when I couldn't sleep, I would just grab an encyclopedia and read for a while, you know. And I didn't believe everything I read. How weird is that, you know? I'd say, oh, I don't know if I believe this. But it had been a long night, to put it quite mildly. And as I recall, I had something I had to do the next day, and it was not early by any stretch, like 1 o'clock, but I had gotten home around 5:30 after a long, long night. And I was, you know, full hair, full beard, full attitude. And I got up and I walked around and was going upstairs. And they were about halfway downstairs with all their equipment. I must have been 19, maybe 20. And he said, I don't remember this. They were coming downstairs. They had all this heavy equipment. And I was going upstairs and I just looked at them. And I growled. He swears this. He had never met me before. But I just growled at them. And I had this huge head of hair and the hair was just everywhere. And I just, you know. And they backed up and went back up the stairs. I didn't say a word. I just growled as I went up the stairs and out into the world. And he said he never forgot that. And then eventually he became my friend. And he was afraid to tell me that story for a couple of years. And then he told me, and I just laughed. And I thought, wow, that's friendship, man. That's wonderful. That's absolutely beautiful. What a wonderful thing friendship is. What a lovely thing friendship is. I love that. I love friends. I love being a friend. I love being your friend, even though maybe I've probably met a lot of you, I would think. I hope so. But what a wonderful thing it is to be your friend, you know? And what a wonderful thing it is for you to be my friend. Even though we've not met, I love the feeling. I can feel you. I mean, you know, some of you are probably thinking, this guy is weird. And you're right. I am weird. I've been weird all my life. And I'll be weird until I take my last breath. And that might be a week from today. That might be tomorrow. It might be a year from today. It might be 20 years from today. It might be 15, 40 years from today. Might be 11 years from today. I don't know. And no matter what, that's the way it goes. Autumn. I love autumn. I love autumn. And every season with its energy gives us an opportunity to use that energy to our benefit. Why? Because our ancestors have been using these energies for tens of thousands of years, for millennia. For millennia. Now, my ancestors, the Egyptians, have used it perhaps a little bit differently. Now, there's Turks in my system too, you know. I found out that there are Ottomans in my system as well. Perhaps a Davenport as well. Maybe even a chevalier or something like that. Who knows all these weird names for furniture. Fiernitcher is my friend, the druid used to say with his accent. My God, you could cut it with a butter knife. He was amazing. God, he was an amazing guy. But we can really benefit. I've got Swedish in me, too. My mom said, that's a secret. Don't tell anybody. Ma. Really, Ma. You know, secret. But we can use this. We can use this. Use it to benefit ourselves. Why? Why? Because these opportunities are amazing. We don't know that they're there. We don't know that they're there, but if all we have to do is kind of use them. For example, in the springtime, around, you know, April, March, April, May, you know, well, about April to June, March, yeah. We should get a kite and use it. Why? Because that's something that people have been doing for a very long time. We don't think about it. We don't get out in the wind. Get out in the wind. Get out there in the wind. There's something about the wind that's, but we're not talking about spring. We'll talk spring when spring comes about. But this is about the harvest. This is about what opportunities do we have? Well, we don't harvest anything. Some of you do harvest. And you know what I'm talking about. You know what it feels like to get involved in the harvest energy. Use this opportunity to prepare for winter. Now, what does preparing for the winter mean? Well, I'm going to get out and think I'll buff up my snow shovel. That's exactly. I'm going to spray it with some Pam. Is that what you're going to do? No, not necessarily. You might want to think about the snow shovel. You might get out the extra, you know, beanie that you have for your snowman and get yourself some rocks that look like coal for the... No, that's not what it's about, but, you know, that's fun too. But think about the arts. What's fascinating is that the indigenous people of this country often spent a lot of time preparing the stuff that they would use. The stuff. Yeah, let's go out and get some stuff. I need stuff. No, they would prepare the ingredients that they would need for their artwork for the winter, that they would do the winter. For example, in the Pacific Northwest, when it rained and 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 rained, they would gather, before it started all that wetness, they would gather lots of wood. And not wood to burn, but wood to create artwork. masks and you know, poles that they could carve, right? Big logs that they could carve, and minerals that they could carve. And so they could then they could create artwork. And it's a wonderful concept. You gather it up now so that when you're locked up in that longhouse all winter long, you can do things. You can create cannibal masks. And you could, I mean, it's just a wonderful concept. And all artwork for a certain group of people, like ancients, had to do with religion, spirituality. Not necessarily religion, but spirituality. There is something very holy about artwork. And I believe that to this day. I drew a picture, it's on my Facebook page, and it's a picture of me, kind of. It's just a stylized version of me. And there's this little spring coming out of my beard, and the beard is crazy looking. This little face on this, the end of this spring. And it's nuts. It's nuts. And the caption is, "I blame my beard." And I think it says it all, you know? It says it all. We all have something that we hold as kind of, that's who I am. And for me, I mean, I wanted to start shaving when I was 5 years old. I said to my dad, I knew I wanted a beard at five. And when I used to watch him shave, and I'd say, "Why do you do that?" He said, "Because if I don't do that, I will have a heavy beard." And I said, "Well, does shaving stop that?" He said, "No, every time I shave, it means it's going to come in heavier." I said, "Well, I want to start shaving at five." And he said, "Why?" I said, "I want a beard. I would like to have a beard by the time I'm eight or nine." And he said, "You can't do that." I said, "I'd like to have a beard now." He said, "But it's not growing." And he looked at me and probably just went, "Oh, boy." You know? But you know who you are. It's something about you, you see. Anyway. So this is a time. So what do we talk about preparing? It's a time to gather. What are you going to gather? Gather books. Books that interest you, maybe on cooking or instruction of something like origami, or maybe it's novels you want to read, or maybe it's whatever. Maybe it's supplies you want to gather, like artistic supplies, like paint or oil paintings, or what, you know, stuff to do oil paint, like easels or canvases, or, you know, go out and get some walls so you can spray paint them later for graffiti. I'm kidding, you know. Maybe you already do some sort of artwork. Maybe you throw pots. You know, go out and buy some pots so that you can throw them at people. I'm kidding. That's a joke. You know, don't want to throw people, but you know what I'm talking about. This is a time to say, what do I feel brave enough to try out? This is a time of great joy for me. I used to love to say, what do I have time to do? Because there's nothing like this time of year when the sun is setting earlier and earlier and earlier and earlier every day. And you're going to have this like a twilight, and then you get to kind of sit around and say, okay, now it's, what am I going to do? I'm not going to go out and, you know, hurl the discus at 7 o'clock at night because it's dark. You know, God forbid you should hurl the discus and hit somebody walking by. You know, here, let me get this javelin, give that a toss at 9 o'clock. I mean, once come 9 o'clock, there was still some light. You could see where the javelin's going to be tossed. No, you're not going to do that at nine at night. Who knows, you know, you might hit a werewolf. You don't want to do that. So you start saying, what can I do at home? What can I study? Calligraphy is good. You know, takes a lot of work to get it to where you want it to go, but it's fun to do. You get a book or two, and you go for something. You say, do I really want to do this? After a while, you say, oh, why did I start this? You buy some pens. This is all about, what do I want to do? Get some books, you know, read Moby Dick, read the collected works of Sherlock Holmes. It's a very strange time to do things like this, but what a joy. And maybe it's cooking you want to do, you know, maybe you want to learn to do, you know, maybe you want to get a book on Middle Eastern cooking or Chinese cooking, or, you know, Danny Kaye, the actor, he was a gourmet a gourmand. He was a Chinese chef. He actually had a full Chinese kitchen put into his house. That's how much he liked Chinese cooking. And he had lessons from Chinese. He was a big deal Chinese chef. He was also an airline pilot. I think he could fly an airline jet like, back then it was probably different, but like John Travolta, he could fly an airline plane if he wanted to. He preferred, I think, smaller planes because the gasoline is just unbelievable. But, you know, he was that kind of guy. There are people who, you know, but you can do all this stuff and the autumn is the perfect time. But, you know, what else the autumn is good for? Work. Do some work. I mean, that's what we are programmed to do during this time. We are programmed to work. Now, in Egypt, the flood was coming. At this time of year, flood's on its way. So what do? You work your butt off because you only have so much time to move your house. So you move everything, and you're getting ready for the flood. So you're doing it all until it's too late, right? And in the rest of the world, what they're doing is, and this of course is Northern Hemisphere. Southern Hemisphere, it's a different story. But we're talking Northern Hemisphere because that's where I dwell. Now, for those of you in the Southern Hemisphere, I'm sorry. You know, I can't relate, unless it's springtime. And for you, it's springtime. So just hang in there. We'll talk about you in 6 months, okay? You'll have to just fast forward to that. And I promise I will, you know, I don't mean to ignore you, but you know what it's like in springtime. So, you know, you can listen to this in 6 months. And, you know, actually, I know many people who are from New Zealand and Australia. And you're really cool people. You are cool, cool people. Really neato. Kind of laid back in a way that none of us really are. It's a different point of view. Different point of view. Must be because your toilets flush the other way. It does something to people. It really does. Anyway, so the idea is work. There's something about work. I personally have never enjoyed work, but I've done a lot of it. I've done a lot of work, and I love the feeling afterwards. I remember once a friend of mine said, "You want to come over and help me plant a garden in my backyard?" And I said, "Sure, man. I'm happy to do that." It was back in the hippie days, and he said, "Yeah, we're going to turn my entire backyard into a garden." All right, far out, man. And so I went over there, and there was another guy who was not fond of work. Now, I wasn't fond of it, but I was willing to help my friend out. You know, he was trying to live off the land. So, and his wife was going to cook dinner. Now, his wife was one of the best cooks I've ever met in my life, and she was going to make her famous hush puppies. Her hush puppies were the best hush puppies I've ever eaten in my life. And she won't part with the recipe to this day, and it's been a good 50 years. And I'll never have them again, but that's all right. And so we got out there, and there was one of us who was not willing to work. He did not want to work, and so he didn't work. So there were three of us that were working in that garden, and it was silent. And it was hard work, and I had gloves on. Otherwise, my hands would have been just bloody stumps by the time we were done. But we were turning over this lawn into dirt. And something happened after about 20 minutes. And that was that it was turned into a working meditation. It was the weirdest thing that's ever happened in my life. It was one of the most enjoyable, wild feelings I've ever felt. We were one. The three of us were one. And one of them was my friend I was telling you about, the one that I still see that I love so much, and he loves me, that we see who lives cross-country. We were turning over this dirt, and it was just this beautiful experience. And this guy who didn't do it was left out of that. It was hard work, but it was exhilarating, and it was wonderful. And the guy who did not work still got to eat this incredible meal. It was a Southern meal, you know, and we were in Colorado, but with these hush puppies. And I could see he felt guilty while we were all eating. You could see that he felt a little guilty, but that was fine. He got treated equally. He got treated just fine. And he missed out on an incredible experience. Hard work
is something that is part of this, the harvest. You celebrate the harvest, but you also are celebrating the work itself. Now, this doesn't mean you need to go out and find a harvest to help bring in. I had some friends who were deadheads, and they would follow the dead from state to state, you know, and they stopped. Loveland, Colorado, there, you've probably heard of it, there are cherry orchards all over the place out there, and they're famous for their cherry cider. And these these hippies, there are different types of hippies, but they were, you know, real just kind of hippies, and they were vegetarians. And so they needed a job. They'd run out of money. And so they stopped, and this guy said, "I'll give you a job. All you have to do is pick cherries." So they said, "Oh, man." And so they're picking cherries. And after a certain amount of time, they said, "Wow, we've got all these cherries. I think we've kind of earned our keep. Let's just take the cherries and not turn them in. And I'd say we've pretty much, that's fine." And instead of taking the cherries back in, they just, you know, for money, they just left with the cherries. They did not see that that was a problem. They did not see that there was an issue there. And I thought, wow, they felt that the work had kind of paid for it. And I said, "You can't do that, man." You know, and they came back to the house where we were all living as hippies. And they said, "Hey, oh man, it's perfectly fine. Eat some cherries," because the cherries were going to go bad. And the place was filled with fruit flies within 2 or 3 days. And I said, like, "You got to get rid of the cherries." You see, work is good, but it has to be proper. And so hard work is cool, man. I know that even though I don't like it, I do things like I go out and I take care of the yard. You know, I try and clean it up, and I do things that are hard work because I love the way it feels when it's done. And I like the way it feels when I'm doing it, too, even though it's very distasteful for me. You know, and I hope no one actually sees me doing it because that would hurt my reputation. So find something to do, and helping other people is a wonderful thing to do. That's what autumn is about. Autumn is about getting together as a group and helping others. Now, I'm getting to be a pretty old guy, you know. I'm 70 years old. And so, and I tell people that, and my wife says, "Why do you keep telling people that?" I said, "Because I can't believe it. I can't believe how old I am. It blows my mind, you know. It does blow my mind. I honestly never thought I'd get to this place, but that's fine. I love being here. But, you know, it's not that I want other people to go, "Jesus Christ, how old is he?" You know, it's like, I'm like, wow, I got to remind myself there's things I just shouldn't be doing anymore. So, and things I don't do anymore, obviously. But work is great. You don't overdo it. You don't want to. There's a light bulb in this house that needs changing, but I'm not getting up on a ladder right where it is because it's very dangerous. And I know that, right? This is the time to explore. Explore new subjects for learning. Find a new passion. Speaking of passion, man, autumn is a time for romance. If you've been putting it off, if you've been thinking, "I don't want to do romance, I'm, you know, I'll never fall in love again," you know, I could sing, but then there'd be that old problem, you know, can't do it, don't have the license, I'll never fall in love again. I'm the type of guy who would fall in love every day, 5 times a day, if I had the opportunity. I love love. I love falling in love. I love being in love. It's a wonderful feeling. What is better than love? What is better than falling in love? What is better than that thought of love? I mean, there is just, oh my God, what a feeling it is. It is a tingle to mingle, you know? And it's just that looking into someone's eyes and having them smile at you. Oh my God. Just having someone look into your eyes and have them smile at you, you know? Oh God Almighty. Is there anything better than that? Is there anything better than having someone really like you? Oh, and in the fall, when you can walk somewhere and the leaves are falling out of the sky, you know, and the sidewalk, and even if the sidewalk is crooked, you're holding someone's hand, just to hold someone's hand in the fall, when it's just maybe a little chill in the air, even if it's a warm afternoon, but you know the season is changing, there's something about it, you know, and the smell of the leaves, oh my God, oh, love, love. There is so much that's good about love. You know, I mean, falling in love in September or October or November is unlike falling in love any other time to me. You know, this is a time for romance. This is a time for your heart to go pitter-patter, pitter-patter. You know, yeah. Don't turn your nose up at it. It's a wonderful time to open your heart up. A wonderful time to do that. I don't know why, except maybe that's just the way it's meant to be. Because then you can snuggle up in the winter. Oh, God, under those covers when it's icy cold outside and you don't have to be alone. Now, I'm an old man. Trust me, things like that don't happen to me anymore. Oh, don't I wish they did. But boy, oh boy, you just kind of snuggle up and, you know, maybe watch a movie or, you know, just pretend to watch a movie and just snicker and laugh and have a good time. Oh, wow. You know, life is too short. Life is too short not to have love all around you all the time. And to have someone that you can't wait to see again, that you can't wait to touch, you know, just their face and look into their eyes and see that smile and make them smile. Oh, man. Use autumn for that. Of course, you can use springtime for that, too. That's always good. May is a good time for love as well. And so is August, and so is September, and so is July, and so is June. Yeah. New intellectual pursuits. I love this time of year to find something new that turns you on intellectually. You know, take a class. There are all these classes being taught this time of year. They know that, right? As school's starting, but also there's all these classes. So you can take a class in painting or in music. You know, learn to play the piano. That's what you should do. Or bagpipes. There's always some crazy person teaching how to play the pipes. You know, you have to buy a set of pipes. And you don't have to spend a fortune for bagpipes. You can get a set of pipes, oh, for $100, $150, $200, maybe $300. But, you know, the good pipes are going to cost you $12,000, $2,000, $3,000, $5,000. But you don't have to start out that way. You can get very inexpensive pipes. Some that are made in Pakistan, they're generally not very good, but you can start that way. Thing I don't like about bagpipes is that they get filled with spit. I have an aversion to spit after a while, which is, you know, I played the clarinet for years and years and years, and I frankly got kind of tired of all the spit. Now I play end blown flutes like the Anasazi flute and a ney, and I've even got another flute. I forgot the name of it now, but it's end blown as well. And there's spit in those, but I have a thing that I can clean it out with. But I like them. The shakuhachi is another one that I play. Not well. I didn't say I played it well, so don't get that tone with me. I play the concertina and, you know, the melodeon, which is a button accordion. And I didn't say I played it well, you know, and the nose flute. You don't get me mad or I'll play it. You know, harmonica. I love music. I love playing music. Pick up a musical instrument. That's a nice thing to start in the fall and to practice it until the spring. And by that time, you'll know that you have no talent. And you'll quit or you'll stick with it. But always there's a nice, take up some, you know, painting, pottery maybe. This is a great time of year to go out and get an easel, set it up and canvas and take some acrylic paints to it or some charcoal or, you know. This is a time. This is a great time to use this energy. See, the energy comes with the season. That's what I'm saying. Guess what's coming up? Guess what's coming up at the end of this year? End of October into November. November 7th is the actual solar holiday of it, and that's Samhain. Samhain. Halloween. What a joyous celebration that is, because that's the new year. Halloween. Samhain. Samhain. Guess what? That's a joyous holiday. Use this time. Use this time. I'll talk more about that, but don't fail. You know, this is a time for exploration. This is a time for new subjects, for new learning, for new passions. Passion, passion, passion. Don't miss out on this. To everything, turn, turn, turn. Ecclesiastes, right? Prepare for this. Use this energy. Use this energy. Be a flirt. Don't, you know, put on your tweed. I have tweed hats. I love that stuff. I was born in the UK. It comes naturally. You know, I left when I was 10 months old, but it stuck. I smoked English pipes for a long time. Jacobson pipes, good pipes. Yeah. Yeah. And English tobaccos, English blends, a lot of Kia. Yeah, good stuff. Stunk, ooh-wee, you know. People would say, we don't allow smoking of that weed in here. It's weed, that's not weed, it's expensive tobacco, you know, please. Yeah, that's when you go, what, man? Sorry, man. I wouldn't put that in this pipe. It's a nice pipe, man. Still have all my pipes. I quit smoking 31 years ago or something like that. And I still have every pipe I ever bought. And I won't get rid of them, which drives my wife crazy. Nuts. Drives her nuts. I'm not getting rid of them. They're my pipes. And who knows? Maybe, you know, when someone says, well, Mo, you've only got a few months to live, I'll just pull them out and start light them up again, you know. And I just quit them because I just quit smoking. That was it. Done. I had my last cigarette with Mark. He quit a long time ago. I quit, I think, just before he did, because I just had my last cigarette, came home and said, I'm done. I can't. I was sick. I didn't feel good. I didn't smoke. Never looked back. Haven't actually wanted one since then. But I love my pipes. I've got some really nice pipes. Yeah, I do. Some Meerschaums. I have a signed Ishmael. I don't know if that's worth anything or not, but I bought it and I like it. My wife says I'm a hoarder. I'm not that. I'm a sentimentalist. I have my dad's name tag from LSU when I signed up as a student there. That night he took his name tag off. I picked it up. I've still got it. That's sentimentalist. There's nothing wrong with that. It was in the fall, by the way. It was in the fall. It was a good time. This is the fall. This is autumn. The fall of the sun. This is the autumn. Autumnus. All right? I think that's good. Put some love in your life. No one. There are people who make mistakes with love. I've done it. It's because I wear my heart on my sleeve. It's because I'm honest when it comes to love. Oh, there's deception in relationships. Come on, we all know that. But I am honest in my love. I don't lie when it comes to my love. I'm very honest about that. I open my heart up and I say, here is who I am. I am honest about that completely. This is who I am. This is what I am. This is what I believe. This is what I want. When I tell someone I love them, I mean it. 100%. Yeah. Yeah, it's a schmuck. I can be a real I'm a sucker. But you know what? I've lived my life that way. And I would rather live it that way than lie about who I am. That's all I can say about it. And I love you. And I mean that. Those of you who listen to me, the rest who don't listen to me, I love you too. I love you too. You just don't know it yet. To those of you who listen, I really love you. Completely and totally. And until next week, I wish you all peace and love. Have a good week. Bye.
Until next we meet, I'll be waiting for you right here in the Paisley Penny Arcade. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the Paisley Penny Arcade. I am Mo Abdelbaki, and today is Wednesday, the 12th of July. July, yeah. 2023. Oh, the year is just speeding by, isn't it? Isn't it? Already the 7th month of the 23rd year of the 21st century. And to think just a moment ago, I was in Mrs. Parsons' fifth grade class at Laurel Elementary in Fort Collins, Colorado. Okay, go ahead, those of you listening who want to steal my identity. I won't get you that far. And now that's been a challenge. And they'll go, yes, yes, I can do everything. Well, go ahead. I mean, really, it's the world today. Oh, the world today. Isn't it a sorry place? It's not that bad. It's weird. A lot of strange goings on. There are good people left in the world. There are good people left in the world, which was proven to me recently. Thank you again. You know who I'm talking to. So, what should we talk about today? How's the weather been? How are you feeling? How has your weather been? Wow. To those of you in Vermont, and I know that there are a couple of listeners in Vermont, Montpelier, and Vermont is a destination place. It's a destination state where people go to, like Colorado. People come to Colorado to see the mountains and to, you know, buy rock candy because we have lots of mountains and lots of rocks, and they make candy that looks like rocks. And it's good. We have saltwater taffy in Estes Park, and of course, I'm not sure what that has to do with the mountains, but it's pretty good stuff. And it,